around here.
Emergency officials have been trying to relieve some of the pressure on the dam from the extra water as more rain and possibly thunderstorms could roll in this weekend and into early next week. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Flight attendants for Alaska Airlines will vote on a new contract.
Alaska Airlines flight attendants are receiving a 32% pay raise on average. The Association of Flight Attendants says that includes pay for the time they spend helping passengers to board planes. The union says Delta is the only other airline that does that right now. And the contract offer includes 21 months of retroactive pay. Earlier this year, Alaska flight attendants voted to strike if contract talks fail. Heather Bosch, CBS News, Seattle.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You may be seeing the messaging that the November election isn't just about the presidency. As Mike Moen reports, more engagement groups are trying to get people to understand the importance of the Supreme Court.
Last year, Wisconsin voters were inundated with campaign ads for candidates in the high-profile state Supreme Court race. With the nation's high court under scrutiny, the group Stand Up America is educating voters, with ad campaigns in battleground states, about court dynamics and what lies ahead. The group, Sarah Harris says, as you prepare to vote on who will have a say in nominating future justices, it's important to not just think about immediate fallouts.
It's important to think about generations after us, because many of the people who could potentially be put on the bench will be on there for 50 to 60 years, potentially, as justices continue to be appointed younger and younger.
Beyond controversial opinions from the last couple of years, the Supreme Court has been caught up in an ethics scandal. Harris says the court hasn't shown an ability to police itself.
Chief Justice Roberts and others put out a sort of suggestion list of ethics, but it's not binding. So it sort of leaves it up to other people on the court to decide if and when there is an ethical issue. And as we've seen, ethical issues continue to happen.
Conservative Justice Clarence Thomas defended himself after investigative reporters with ProPublica revealed he was often treated to expensive vacations paid for by Republican donors. Thomas says he didn't disclose them because the donors are close friends, but some legal experts take issue with that explanation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, pop-up storms in the afternoon and evening, highs to the upper 70s. Rain chances continue on Monday and Tuesday.
Right now it's 58.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show, the Joe Biden Hangover from Madison, and Dom joins us. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
July 6th, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the Walk Radio Studios in downtown. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board, my faithful my partner in crime. And we are coming to you live and local, as I mentioned, and we are right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park. We are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And it's going to be a very full show today, as I always try to do. But in particular, my guest is former 9th District Alder and County Supervisor Kathleen Cummings, who most people in Waukesha would know, had served this city with dignity and integrity for 23 years and the county for 25 years, the first woman to hold both seats simultaneously. And, of course, we unfortunately know her better as someone that faced a 30-month ordeal fighting criminal charges, 7 counts of election fraud, because she owned 2 homes, one in her district and one just a few houses outside of the district, and was acquitted of all charges on May 7th. But obviously, there is a tarnished reputation. There is over $85,000 in legal fees. And we're honored to have her, the first media outlet to have her as a guest since the acquittal, to tell her story and what I call the first leg of the redemption tour or the vindication tour. Kathleen, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Don. I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good. And we're honored to have you here, a former colleague and a very dear friend. And we'll also be talking about a lot of local news, including our good friend Earl Ingram, who's here in studio. He is doing a live interview with CNN that takes place any minute regarding his... He did a live interview with President Joe Biden that aired on July 5th. Or no, it was maybe the day before, but we aired it on July 4th on both hours of Earl's show. And now CNN wants to talk to him about that interview. And that should be interesting. Earl's been very outspoken about his concerns for the president's health since that debate in late June. And Earl had also advocated that maybe the president step down and maybe somebody else take his place in this upcoming election. And so I believe the purpose of this interview with CNN is to see Earl's perspectives on how he felt the president performed in the interview and what he feels now. And we're honored that Earl was selected by the White House. And so, and obviously we congratulate him on that recognition. So that is a big deal. We're going to talk about highlights of the 4th and the Shaw. And some upcoming performances. We're going to talk about what happened. I mentioned on last week's show about the the departure of Flippin' Fabulous on Main Street, now moving to Burlington after some bullying from fellow business neighbors. I'm also going to touch a little bit on the 25th anniversary of the tragedy at what was then called Miller Park involving three iron workers who lost their lives, and what's going on next weekend to honor their memories. And then we have the RNC coming up and what that impact will be on some local businesses. I believe one Waukesha business or one business has a lot of presence in Waukesha that will be benefiting from that. And then in the second hour, James Santel, host of Amicus, will be coming in early to appear on this show and speak about some of the legal issues regarding Kathleen's case, and as well as what some recourses could be in the aftermath of her, again, vindication, her acquittal on all charges. So a lot to cover here, and of course we'll be getting two farmers market reports in the second hour. I don't know which member of our civic media team will be leading that effort, but it is a beautiful day, and I'm sure it'll be a beautiful farmers market day. So we're really glad everyone's listening in. And so I want to start from my own perspective here with what happened to Kathleen Cummings. While we were both on the council, it was in early September of 2021 that I and my fellow alders received an email from Mayor Sean Riley that had a letter attached from Kathleen's attorney telling us that she'd be taking an indefinite leave of absence for health reasons. I don't know. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but that was the extent of it. And at the time was very much a mystery, knowing how active Kathleen has been in city and in public life. And then in the ensuing weeks, rumors had circulated about the police raiding her home, both of her homes. Some talk about possible election fraud, not living at her primary address in her district. And then in October, I would learn that my district, the only contiguous of all 15 districts, in my opinion, was split in half, and that I would be forced to exile my seat. And that, again, I'm the host of this show. I'm a media, so I, and that's another reason Jim Santel will be here in the second hour. I'll be recusing myself from that discussion, but many of Kathleen's closest supporters had felt that what had happened to both of us at that time was tied together, that there was an agenda. And again, I just don't want to comment further on that. But with regard to Kathleen, my good friend, though, I would say a few weeks after I learned of my future plans, Kathleen had made an appearance at her first council meeting in a couple months anyway. And then days after that, it might have been the very next day, she was arrested, booked in a very public showing. I think there was mugshots and everything, and it was just a very really difficult time for her and anybody close to her that knew Kathleen Cummings and know that, you know, I don't think she's ever even had a parking ticket in her life. She's always, and as a public servant, oh, two parking tickets. Thank you, Kathleen. So Kathleen, the floor is yours. And you know, one, I guess one is, like, how do you feel now after 30 months and over $85,000 in legal fees? Like, how do you feel now that the case is over?
I'm grateful. I am just grateful. I'm grateful to the citizens that prayed for me. I'm grateful to all those who supported me. And I'm grateful to my attorney. I am grateful, and without that support, without God in my life, I would not have survived.
Thank you for sharing. And, you know, a couple other notes on this too was Kathleen has been consulting with legal advisors. She hasn't officially retained an attorney to see what's next for her. But when asked about doing the show this morning, her legal advisors had said, tell your story. Do not pull any punches, because everything's public. So, and again, prior to this, the trial taking place in the spring of this year, again, what was painted in the media was not a very good, didn't look very good for Kathleen. And what was also rather ironic was six months earlier, a colleague of ours on the council, Aaron Perry, who's doing really well. He's reinvented himself, now living in Minnesota with his family, and wishing him well. But he was involved in some criminal matters, and the issue of his multiple residences had become rather public, to the extent that his constituents had formed a petition. And Aaron had voluntarily stepped down. But in my conversations with members of the city's legal department about what the council's recourses was or how the council should behave, I was told that the standard of residency is very difficult to prove, that really all you need is a mortgage, a lease, a phone bill, a driver's license, utility bills, anything. If you've established that, it's very difficult to prove or to disprove your residency, and that we don't observe how people live. If they decide to use their utilities or not, if they live in a second home, if they occupy a second home for different reasons, or members of their family occupy a second home, that one, it's really nobody's business. And also, this member of the legal department had said that, well, we do have an issue with other alders owning more than one property in this city. And I think right away with my alderman now, Eric Payne, who probably spends half his year at his family's cabin up north, you know, does that disqualify him because he spends doesn't spend the whole 12 months in his district? You know, you can make so many cases like that. But the fact that Kathleen was dragged through the mud for however many months is it raises some very serious questions. Kathleen, go ahead.
30 months. 30 months, Don.
How many months did I say? Three? I'm sorry, wrong.
30 months.
30 months, right?
30 months, yes.
30 months, yes. So.
Yes. What amazes me through this whole process is that no one asked me. Not Kevin.
You're not referring to Kevin Lehner, former
Kevin
city administrator.
Lehner, not the mayor, Sean Riley, not Brian. Nobody asked
Brian
me.
Brian Running, city attorney.
Right, exactly. If I had, it was not a secret we owned two homes. My constituents knew I owned two homes. And we owned two homes for the precise purpose of creating a group home for my severely autistic son, who was at that time 34 years old, so that it's when we were ready, we could have a life with him, but he could have a life by himself. The homes are nine homes apart, exactly nine. And we had the opportunity at some point in 2012 to purchase my mother-in-law's home for $150,000 on 1143 Downing. Now, anyone familiar with the prices of homes in Waukesha, I couldn't even probably get a lot for that amount of money. And so my husband and I went and got a loan so that we could then pay his two brothers. And ultimately, the house cost us $100,000 because $50,000 was his inheritance from his dad. And the question would be, why wouldn't any person that was looking to have a group home or a future for their disabled son not look at that? You would have to look at that. And we had looked at other properties over the years, but this seemed to be a really good fit. They were both homes were of a ranch nature. I did talk to the housing authority director at one point, and he thought maybe one house was better than the other, but we had not come to any specific reason.
We're going to continue this conversation with the vindicated former legislator, Kathleen Cummings, here in This Week in Waukesha, plus some recent and faraway 4th of July reflections and much more here on This Week in Waukesha. I'm WEK, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And don't forget the...
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
We are not waiting for the sun to rise here on this week in Waukesha. The sun is out and it's beautiful on this lovely Saturday morning here in the Shaw. And of course, you're listening to Waukesha's favorite son, Les Paul, with Mary Ford. And the world is waiting for the sunrise. Had you heard that song before, Kathleen Cummings?
No.
No. Oh, boy. Yeah. There's a really great guitar in that. And towards the end of the segment, Max will be putting it back on for everyone to enjoy. But
I'm expanding my horizons here on this show.
You sure are. Yep. So. But did you have a nice 4th of July?
I had a quiet one. Thank you.
Okay, that's good, too. But mine was fun in many ways. We got to go to the fireworks on the 3rd of July over at Lowell Park. And the year before, we were at a friend's backyard in the neighborhood watching, and that was fun. But this is our first time that my wife and I really got to dig in and walk through. And food truck was well organized. We got a couple burgers. The beer trucks were great. We had some beers from Steel Tank Brewery in Oconomowoc, but Dave Barron grew up in New Berlin. His family used to go to my in-law's restaurant, Rick's Restaurant in New Berlin, for many years, and said that was an inspiration for him to go into hospitality. And what I really liked was that usually when you go to these festivals, you think you need like a second mortgage, just to get a meal and a beverage, but the beers were $7 and the burgers were $10. And like, that was, I thought that was very reasonable. And so, hats off to Parks and Rec City people. I don't know if they had a hand in that, but that certainly makes it more enjoyable. You have to buy tickets when you're buying beer. And so we bought, 6 tickets each. We were walking. So it was an enjoyable evening. That was really fun. But then on the 4th of July, we barbecued at my father-in-law's house in New Berlin. And then we came home, and we were invited to our daughter's boyfriend's home out in Pebble Valley. And that's the home of Waukesha North baseball coach Don Radomski, who's North Stars had a great season. Don also was selected to coach for the it was a state all-star tournament in which there were 4 regions. And so Don got to coach the Eastern or the Southeastern region. It was all seniors. And they were, I believe they were undefeated. So it was a great, it all took place on a Saturday, like a round robin. And they won all 3 games against the other 3 regions of the state, and a lot of fun. But they have in that neighborhood, there is their own special fireworks show.
Oh, beautiful. How fun.
There's a huge backyard that several homes share. It kind of reminded me, if you've ever been to Ravinia in Highland Park, Illinois, to see music, it was very much like that setting. And so they had their own little fireworks show. And so it was really great because you didn't have to negotiate all the, going through people and parking and driving and getting in and out. Although I will say, now that it's a little park, that is much more manageable because there's several ports of entry and exit. So I really like that it's there. It just feels more like a community experience than going to the airport. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that little private, that neighborhood fireworks show, I thought that was terrific. And it would be neat to see other neighborhoods participate in that, as long as they're doing it safely and responsibly. And like where we are in Banting Park, I think that would be a great setting to do something like that, because I think there's enough space. So, but
you better check with your alder person.
That's it. Yes. Thank you, Kathleen Cummings. So that was very well said. And, and I also want to mention too, was this year, I just figured out, marks the 30th anniversary of what I call my favorite 4th of July. And it wasn't spent here in the United States. It was actually spent in my ancestral homeland of Ireland, where I'm a dual citizen. And it was a few months after my grandmother had passed away, so it's kind of my ode to her. At the time, I was managing an Irish pub in Chicagoland, and the owner had helped kind of sponsor me to go there and also buy items for the pub. And, as someone that was, I was in second grade during the bicentennial.
Okay.
And had felt this lack of connectivity, you know, as a descendant of immigrants to the bicentennial, to the revolution, to the American Revolution, a detachment, if you will. And then so I was staying in my grandfather's family's home in the West in County Clare. And it's a hill where my family's lived for like close to 300 or 400 years. And my uncle Mickey, my grandfather's only living brother out of 15 kids, he drives me over to the home where my grandmother was from. And on the way there, we're going around a bend. There's a big hill, and at the bottom of the hill, there's a monument with some soldiers in the stonework, if you will. And my uncle says, that's the Renin Ambush Memorial. Your grandmother had a brother who lost his foot in that battle. And I would learn, you know, years later when I would return to Ireland, I was working there. I would learn from a cousin that it was two of my grandmother's brothers, including her father. And it wasn't her father, it was her uncle, I guess my great uncle, who my uncle Pat, who lost his foot. And it didn't happen in that battle. It happened in the recourse following that, in which the British troops had just really raped and pillaged Miltown Mall Bay in the west of Ireland. And that's where my grandfather or my uncle had lost his foot. But
is the stonework where the foot was lost?
No, like I said,
not like Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson, but it was in the site, the stonework, the monuments at the site of where the ambush took place.
Okay.
And, but where my uncle lost, I believe, was probably near his home in Miltown Mall Bay, just up the road. But I would learn that it was the first ambush against the Crown forces in the Irish War for Independence. And so it was on that day that I learned that, you know, I was part of, you know, Irish freedom fighters in that war for independence, and that really that this American Revolution is ongoing. It started in 1776, but it continues with, you know, anybody. And we're all, most of us are children of immigrants. We all have a revolution, a story in our lives, and that, you know, coming here and establishing yourself and giving your children a chance at, you know, that's a revolution in my mind. And there's been so many to celebrate. And I think, you know, no matter what party you're in, it's just something to think about, is that we are all part of this great American Revolution.
That is correct.
And we continue to be vigilant.
Absolutely. So. And I'm reminded about what I did. It was a quiet 4th of July, but what I tend to do on my 4th of July, if I'm not in Door County, is I watch these movies on Gettysburg.
Oh, yes.
How fragile our freedom and our country is.
Yeah.
I mean, the battle was fought over states' rights, and still today, 100 and some years later, we're still talking about states' rights.
Yep.
So it doesn't change. We just need to remember it.
Right. And then in case of your ordeal, we know that this American Revolution must continue, and we must continue to be vigilant, and that what happened to you can happen to anybody. Even in what we call a free society, a free Republican small r or Democratic small d society, that we must continue to be vigilant against forces of, let's say, greed or corruption or a different agenda, shall we say. And we look forward. How are we doing on time here, Maxie? Okay, 1 minute. So we look forward to continuing this conversation with Kathleen Cummings and her fight. And in fact, now we're going to touch upon the odds of acquittal in this country when facing criminal charges that Kathleen had learned probably as you were getting closer to trial too, that probably had to make you very nervous. And so much more local news.
Actually, I found out after the trial.
Even better. So yeah, it's good. They probably didn't tell you on purpose, but this week in Waukesha continues. And be sure to download the Civic Media app, because if you're traveling, especially on this holiday weekend, you can catch so much great music, great news at local levels, as well as the Brewers, depending on where you are. So more on This Week in Waukesha on WUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media.
The Shaw, WAUK. CBS News Brief. President Biden says there's no reason he should drop out of the race after last week's debate. He gave an exclusive interview to ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos.
I'm running again because I think I understand best what has to be done to take this nation to a completely new level. We're on our way.
Record heat is sweeping across much of the West. Triple-digit temperatures are expected. Ryan Lisi attended the Waterfront Blues Festival in Portland, Oregon, where there's some relief.
Pretty hot once we walked in the gates of the festival, but we cooling towels and the misters.
Beryl is expected to hit South Texas Monday. Jack Bevin is a senior hurricane specialist at the National Hurricane Center.
Currently, the system is a tropical storm. We are expecting some strengthening later in the weekend, and it is likely that Beryl will regain hurricane status as it approaches the Texas coast.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers hit another grand slam. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers in L.A. for game two tonight. Last night, in the top of the fourth, Milwaukee trailing the Dodgers in L.A. 2-1, bases loaded, one out, and Rhys Hoskins, in a hitting slump, is at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball deep left center field. It is up. It is going to be gone. Did he catch that ball? No, he did not. It's another grand slam. Are you kidding me?
The crew took a 5-4 lead, but it wasn't enough. The Dodgers came back in the eighth to beat Milwaukee by a final score of 8-5. Did Rhys Hoskins meet in Pat Murphy's office on Thursday about his 0-12 slump in Colorado this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what he's got to feel great about it, you know what I mean, to put that good swing on that pitch from a pitcher like Glasnow and gave us a chance to win.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
WAUK weather is sponsored by Planet X in Brookfield. Stocked with the freshest cigars at the best prices, 173rd and West Blue Mound Road.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 60s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, pop-up storms in the afternoon and evening, highs to the upper 70s. Rain chances continue on Monday and Tuesday.
Right now it's 58.
Introducing Brookfield's newest cigar and vape shop, Planet X. They have endless options with their wide variety of products. Experience luxury in their expansive cigar room, stocked with only the freshest cigars. And the best part? Planet X offers the cheapest prices in Brookfield. Open to serve you Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. until midnight, and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Come in today for cigars, vapes, and much more at Planet X.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/Trump Monitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up in the show, we'll talk to the Humane Handling Institute about different ways to raise and slaughter our animals. Interesting discussion. Hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
She's a total bam bam. She said she had to squeeze
Hey, you're listening to This Week in Waukesha here in the Suffragette City. I'm your host, Don Brown. I am joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board and my good friend and guest, fellow former alder and former county supervisor, Kathleen Cummings. And a couple things that, you know, Kathleen and I were talking at the beginning of my show. I always give an ode to Theodora Yeomans Park right around the corner, and we shout out our what we call our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And many don't know this, and the only reason I knew is when I was on the council in September of 2019, Mayor Riley issued a proclamation for the centennial, the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote, and acknowledging Theodora Yeomans, a Carroll graduate and a reporter for the Waukesha Freeman, who was the president of the women's suffrage movement in Wisconsin. And many of you don't know this, but Wisconsin was the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment. So I think it's we need to do more than while it is a lovely little park, a little postage stamp size park. I think it's we need to do more. I think to honor that that history, that proud Waukesha history, and someone who embodies that spirit, the first woman to serve in both the Common Council of Waukesha and the County Board of Supervisors simultaneously, Kathleen Cummings. And again, unfortunately, we know her better as the vindicated, recently acquitted on charges of election fraud, Kathleen Cummings. And we were talking, Kathleen, you had learned at some point, it turns out it was after the trial, the criminal trial, your attorney had told you that most cases in this country, throughout the United States, tell me what she told you.
What I didn't know is that an acquittal is very rare. Of the 10,000 prosecutions plus in the state of Wisconsin, 95% of the charges are there are plea deals. And then of that, only 5% of that 5%, 95% will take the jury trial, and only 5%
end up in acquittal.
Yeah. Only 5% are found not guilty.
Staggering.
So, you know, that's like 25 out of 10,000.
Sure.
And I've already used up 7 of them for this year.
Yeah. Way to go. Congratulations. That has to feel so good.
It feels so good. And I can tell you that it's not like television. You don't stand up. You sit there, and the judge started talking. And the first thing he said to the prosecutor of Walworth County was, "Hey, didn't you go to college at such and such a college?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, where did you vote?" And he goes, "I voted at home." "And where is that?" And then it went downhill for him after that.
Wow.
But, it was something.
Yeah. Cause if we could talk about the trial for a moment there. It looked very much. And James Centel has just entered the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. He'll be appearing in our second hour, but we'll also be listening intently here in the this second half of hour number one. And really grateful to have him here because we certainly want his perspectives on it. He's been following this case closely and has a great relationship with your attorney, Kathleen, as well as her son that's also an attorney.
I was unaware.
We'll get to know more about that later. But
I look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about... Because prior to the trial, it did not look good. Is that fair to say? I mean, there were attempts to dismiss that had got dismissed. And so that does not bode well for a defense, right?
No, but I every time we tried, I was always very hopeful.
Sure.
But
sure.
That's really not how the legal system is set up.
Okay.
The legal system is set up so that if you're found guilty, you can appeal.
Okay. So, but we go to trial.
Yes.
And how many witnesses did the prosecution have? If you could remember, just approximately.
I didn't count them. Many city staffers, Dan Dukniak stands out in my mind. As
why would the head of the water department be a witness?
Because there was quite a lot of talk about the lack of usage of water at 1325 East Roberta Avenue.
Okay. And, which is your home in your district.
Which is my home in my district. And he had a lot to say about that. And then there was the assistant clerk. I mean, there was just a lot of staffers.
Okay.
There, and Kevin was
Kevin,
the first
Kevin day. Lehner, former city administrator.
Correct. Okay.
So, and, but of course your attorney had a chance to counter or, you know, to
ask
cross-examine.
Questions. Yes, they cross-examine. One that stands out in my mind was my husband is a poll worker, a trained poll worker for the city of Waukesha.
I love this.
And I was getting ready for my sister, and I was cleaning off his desk, which is really the coffee table. But and I found this document that talks about what you go, when you go to vote, what is establish your residency. Oh, this is interesting. Where should I put this? Well, I put it in my binder, and I said, I'll show that to my attorney. Showed it to her, and she used it in trial. And then in trial.
And then she had your husband come up and testify.
Yeah, well, no, the DA had him come and testify.
Interesting, which kind of it backfired then. The
The DA rapped on the door at after midnight on Friday, just before the trial.
Okay.
And wanted him to be a witness for the prosecution.
And did he? Well, isn't he recused, though, as a family member? Like, he doesn't...
He can be.
Okay.
We had him on our witness list. We didn't subpoena him, but...
But he got subpoenaed by the prosecution?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
And so at that point, he couldn't... He couldn't...
Say no?
I'm not sure about... I believe there is a way of saying no.
He couldn't
no.
talk to you till the trial.
Yeah, so then I had to get a hotel room.
Wow. For real?
Yeah, we got a hotel room so that no one could even suggest that we were talking about the trial.
I was
from
not aware
one day
of
to
any
the next
aspect
day.
Of that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I sure as shooting. I didn't want anybody to think that I went home and I talked to
you
him.
You coached him, yeah.
So I just.
But
my
he knew
sister,
more about it than you did as an election judge about the procedure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
he knew. And then when. One of the clerks, the former, one of the deputy clerks said, did she recognize this document? She said, yes, we used this to train. And on there, I had like half of the documents. I have a passport in that address, my driver's license, my taxes, my credit cards, my utility bills were in our name. So she made her point.
And again, as I understand from the city's legal department, if you've established all that, why would this not have been dismissed earlier in the process?
Well, that's been a question that still has not been revealed.
And so let's put a pin in that till Jim Santel comes on.
Okay.
So he can speak to that. And I look forward to that. Jim's got some good intelligence to share on that. But so what did your husband say when he testified, though, that you recall that certainly helped your cause, unbeknownst to the prosecution? Probably just what you shared, right?
Well, those who know us are very familiar that Joseph became increasingly harder and more difficult to
That's
take care of. Yes, he's 34. It's not like when you're a three-year-old and you're trying to corral them in to do something. At 34, you have a lot more strength and you're getting older.
Yep.
And it was harder for my husband to watch him because he had two bad knees that were going out. And we were looking at having surgery for him, but then there was COVID. So, you know, to give you some idea, his legs on x-ray were bow-legged. He just, you know, he couldn't get up and take care of Joseph like he used to. So it was left to me.
Okay. And that's what he testified about, was that?
Right.
Okay.
Because we were transitioning to the house on Downing, and that's where I spent a great deal of my time.
Sure. And because you own both homes, it's really immaterial, like where you spent more time.
Correct. It's what I consider to be my home.
Okay. So now, what other witnesses for the prosecution test that you remembered that on cross-examination did not do very well for the prosecution's case. Like, first that comes to mind is when the former city administrator had appeared. I'd heard from someone that was there that that your defense attorney had done very well in cross-examination.
A lot of it is a blur, Don. Okay. It really is.
Yeah.
But there are moments that I recall. And one of the moments was he had received this call by a text message from the postman who happened to be his boy's baseball coach. Now, I find this interesting that I found this interesting in the fact, and so did the judge, find it interesting that he learned this in November of 2020. And he said nothing and did nothing about it until March of 2021.
Okay.
The other piece, when the postman testified, well, he said that Kevin asked him to do a document or something like that. And he just basically, they said I wasn't there between 2020 and 2016. And two of those years, we didn't even own the other home.
Okay. Wow.
So I can tell, I just don't know what to say after that.
That's okay. But no, I mean that, yeah. I mean, now the defense, you have a roster of witnesses.
Yes.
And who did they include?
They included people that I had worked with over a period, course of years. Even some of the city staff was called as a witness, cross-examined, and were helpful to me. And my husband, David.
Neighbors were asked to testify too, though, right?
Yes.
On your behalf.
It was interesting that the one neighbor we lived next door to the longest wasn't in the findings for the DA.
Oops.
Yeah. And he lived right next door to me and knew that I was down there. But
he can speak intelligently to your ownership and your residency of that home.
Yes, he could. He could. It was just, I just throughout the 30 months just shook my head. I thought, how in the world did I get in this fix?
Right.
I mean, and I think in the end, it probably was a fix.
Well, yeah, one that didn't go so well, it looks like, from the fixers, fair to say.
That would be correct.
Okay.
But never,
he meaning
Kevin Lehner,
okay.
The city administrator at the time, we have what we call, Kevin, over the course of years, and you're aware of this, Don, had a failure to communicate with the council. And so as part of that, we had monthly meetings with him so that he could appraise us of what was going on within the city. And I didn't miss meetings. I met with the mayor. I met with Kevin. They were usually at the same meeting. And never once during the, from November until July, end of July, did anyone from the city ever ask me where did I live? And I find that suspicious. Because
sure.
If they wanted to know, all they had to do was ask.
And didn't you learn... Well, we'll continue this conversation, but my understanding is that somebody from the city leadership had, 6 months before all this went down, had sent a letter to, I guess, Waukesha County DA asking to investigate on possible residency infractions or whatever you want to call it. But we're going to continue this conversation, plus more local news. And again, take the Civic Media app on the go so you can catch all the great programming we have here, not only for This Week in Waukesha, but WAUK. And the 20-plus stations Civic Media has throughout the state. And if you like music, we've got some great stations out in Baraboo. If you like 80s and 90s, country, and so much more here. You're listening to This Week in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. This show.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
I want to tell you about the young idea. In the city, there's a thousand things I want to say to you when we're talking about the city of Waukesha here on This Week in Waukesha. And my great friend and legal advisor, James Centel of Amicus, that's on at 9 o'clock, has joined us early. We're glad to have Jim. But before we include Jim, I want to continue with this point with Kathleen Cummings. Is you were informed that a letter was sent from somebody from the city of leadership in March of 2021, thereabouts, to the Waukesha County DA. Is that correct?
I didn't find out about that till we found out the findings.
Correct. During the discovery, is that?
In the discovery is when, okay, we found out who and when.
And tell us about that.
Well, my lawyer just said, do you know a Kevin Lehner? And I said, yeah. And he says, that's the person who went to the DA. He, what's interesting about this letter or points that he made in this, yeah, is he did not use city letterhead, yet within the contents of the letter, he went from being the city, I felt it was my duty as city administrator, then it was, I'm a private citizen, then a city administrator, then private citizen. It went back and forth.
And in this letter, he'd volunteered that there was fairly what you could call a public feud between you and him in terms of your scrutiny of his performance or transparency or lack thereof. Is that fair to say?
What I've found in life, Don, is the people who accuse you of something are the ones doing it. At the county, we had a motto, which was we debated in committee, we debated on the county floor, and when we left the doors, we left it there. It's obvious to me after 30 months and all this discovery that was not the type of person Kevin Lehner was. He took it home. there's no other explanation.
Okay. And since that time, probably a year or two after all this went down, Kevin has left the city. While he's now, he accepted an offer with the city of Janesville as, I believe, their city administrator or whatever that title is.
Oh, city manager.
City manager is what they call,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, which is really how he was acting as. He was not acting like a city manager in the city of Waukesha. He was acting like a city manager in the city of Waukesha while he was hired as an administrator of policy. He was, okay, hired to administrate the policies that the Waukesha Common Council had adopted as well as the city. Okay. That was his job.
Got it. And had, in your mind, had he exceeded that brief in his role?
He didn't follow policy. He just, on any number of occasion, he did not follow policy. And that was my issue.
Okay.
And I'd bring it to the attention, and then I would win some and I would lose some.
Okay. So James Centel is here. We'd asked earlier the fact that it in a review of the, what an election judge, when they're reviewing, when they're vetting voters, passport, license, whatever has to be presented. When we look at Kathleen, why was this case not dismissed earlier, given the fact that she had established legal satisfactions of residency? And I'll give Jim a second here to set up. He's plugging in. So my apologies there. Maybe just got to raise the volume there. But here we go. All right. Sorry about that, Jim.
Not at all. Kathleen, so good to be in your presence, and welcome again to the Civic Media Station here in Waukesha. Glad to be with you and appreciate very much your thoughts and comments on all this. Many questions about the process here, as Dan has been talking with you about. One of them is he's just identifying here the pretrial period. One of the things that I should also say at the outset that I know your attorney very well. Donna and I are friends from way back when. Her son, Tony Cotton, also an extraordinary defense counsel, and I suspect you feel very strongly about them as well.
Great law firm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
but I only knew Donna from walking around the neighborhood.
Sure, sure. And now, of course, much more, regrettably, much more intimately in terms of the process here as well. And we can chat more about that as we go forward here. One of the things that Don is asking you about, and I think I suspect the listeners would also be interested in knowing, there are times, obviously, when a case is under investigation, that ultimately the decision is made by a prosecutor to charge, and that happened in your case, plainly. Can you talk with us about that time period between your notification of the fact, as you're just describing, that this was under investigation, and the decision by the charging official here, the prosecutor, specifically attempts, and I suspect Donna did this, Donna Kukler, your attorney, engaging with the DA and attempting to establish some facts here that maybe the DA did not know or did not appreciate. You recall some of that, and can you describe that period of time at all in which you were attempting to try to prevent this from happening at the start?
I mean, after the house was...
Right, absolutely. But before you were formally charged... In that period
yes,
of time,
there's
yes,
discussion
yeah.
between
okay, yes,
the
yeah,
authorities.
Yeah, right,
yes.
Exactly. And tell us about what your, I think I've got a sense of what was going on here because I know Donna well, I know the process well, but an attempt I would offer to try to convince the prosecutor about what the facts really are, right, and which came out at trial before we go down that road of having a trial and having charges. Do you recall any of those kind of conversations with the prosecutor, whether it's with Donna or directly between Donna and the prosecutor, anything about that, in an attempt to try to bring this to a conclusion prior to this all-important decision to charge?
Well, I can tell you that none of us thought it would take this long.
Yes, yeah.
None of us did. But I can say that in early September, and I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, right.
Prior to, I don't know what came first, the findings or the discussion. Mm-hmm. I really...
Sure.
Don't remember. But I recall that my husband said something was said in the fact that she's trying to hide this from her constituency. She's doing this on purpose and she's trying to skirt the law. And that wasn't the case. Back in 2015, I was running for state assembly. And
against Scott Allen, right?
Scott primary. Allen and a few other okay. individuals.
Sure.
Aaron Perry
ran, yep.
And I think there was Vince Toronto. There were several.
Sure, okay.
And it came to question, and the newspaper reporter asked me, and I said, well, I'm never home.
Right. You're working too much.
I'm going to cut in here. We're going to continue this discussion in our second hour with Kathleen Cummings, recently acquitted on charges of election fraud. And what's next for her? In this first leg of her redemption tour here on This Week in Waukesha, as we go into the second hour.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.